Alex is too busy playing ArcGIS to come see us.
Didn't think that ArcGIS was a video game.
Discord thinks it is. Welcome to the Is Everybody Recording?
No. Why would I record when I could not?
I thought so. That's why
I was actually recording. You've been faked. Oh. Fake news.
I've been Owen.
Liberal.
I'm always recording.
That's creepy.
That's true. 24/7, 365.
Alex would kill a man.
Day in the Life podcast.
I would kill a man?
Yes, hey. Yes, I think you would.
With his Day in the Life podcast. It's...
If it's me or him. Alex is like, yeah, I'd kill a guy. If it was a life or death situation.
Pretty much. Cold opens.
So Alex, tell me, how is your last several days of school going?
Awful.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Gross.
It's just because of woke. So
woke being ArcGIS pro.
Le wokeisme est détruit l'école et l'université.
Yeah, I can't wait for there to be no more higher education. So
actually,
the suffering ends.
I have
for you or for
Republican
everyone?
Just because I hate college.
Okay, so I just have to take my sweater off, and then Le Chat is behind me.
Le Chat est détruit le podcast. I love that podcast in French is just podcast.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Quebec, then it's probably like Radio de Stupidité or something like that.
Well, anyway, I haven't started my finals yet, but they're all due Saturday. So
gross.
So this will be a fun week, is what you're saying.
It'll be fun because I'll be BSing them. Because I only need C's.
C's get degrees. Am I right?
They do get degrees, and I have no motivation left. So.
Oh, Alex, cool. You are speaking my language because this like stupid debrief class I've had to do for the internship,
lol.
Even though it's basically no work, has been absolutely killing me just because I cannot summon the give a fuck to like to put effort into anything. If I fail, it doesn't matter because I already have enough credits to graduate, but still.
Yeah, I only need 6 to graduate, and I'm in 13 right now.
Oh, great. But... So you could just fail half of them, and, like, no one cares.
Not no one, but it would be a loss for fielders around the world.
Yes. Can we put this on screen, Kyle? All right. This is how Alex and I are feeling right now. Behold, the field in which I grow my fucks. Lay thine eyes upon it, and thou shalt see that it is barren.
I love your instant switch into like medieval English pronunciation.
Oh, that was perfect.
Lay thine eyes upon it, and thou shalt see that it is barren.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Have you found that one credit classes are significantly harder than 3 credit classes?
I have never taken a 1 credit class.
I think per credit, absolutely. Per class, not for the ones I've taken.
I must just be doing it wrong.
I think that 3,000 level classes are harder than 5,000 level classes because
that's
in 3,000 level classes, they give you a bunch of busy work that no one cares about. Whereas in 5,000 level classes, they understand that you are like an intelligent human being and should actually be given interesting assignments that matter.
I do agree with
that. And some of the 3,000s in my degree program were designed to be like physically painful weeder classes to get students to drop out of the degree program.
You see, that's crazy. I don't know why you would do that. Like, let people follow their dreams.
I also wonder this, especially if their dream is money.
I just support the money. D'argent.
If my dream was money, I should have done computer programming.
Yeah, I was going to say...
This is why there are reader classes.
I could have done a lot of things if I wanted to make money, and I didn't, so I became a social sciences major, and now I have no job prospects.
I could have started peddling fake news and supplements.
But you see, I decided we could still do that. The Red Line Podcast is proud to introduce Brain Buster 5000, a mega enhancement fertility thing that will stop cancer and Ebola.
It has
Ebola.
Testosterone and it's estrogen all in one pill.
Better than ivermectin hormone. At curing COVID.
It's made out of horse stem cells.
By, what did I call it again?
I don't remember.
Something Mega 5, Brain 000. Booster 5000 now. Otherwise, you're a wuss. Wuss.
One in 500 golden bottles will contain the magical brain worm.
One in 5,000 golden bottles will do whatever the heck RFK Jr. has going on with his voice to you. Congratulations.
I love pharmaceutical roulette.
No, but seriously, guys, if we ever want to go on the right wing grift, like, we would be very good at it, I think. We could just make shit up. Like, we could be like, the globalist elites are trying to steal your firearms by introducing 30 to 50 feral hogs into your backyard. This is connected to Pizzagate and the New World Order.
You mean Signalgate? We can make shit up, but I don't think we can believe it enough to build, like, consistent lore.
Oh, I can believe it.
No, I think that's
a skill issue on your part.
Okay, that might just be a skill issue on my part.
We just have to build up your tolerance for this. Monster energy drinks are a sign of the New World Order. Okay, can we do claps so I can start the actual episode? Because as you can see, it is 14 pages. So.
Yep, sounds good.
It's only 10 pages on my computer.
I don't know what...
What a page
It's 11
is.
On mine.
Now it's... Okay.
This might be the new, like, pageless thing. Anyways.
What is this even... What is happening? So, here on the Real Lies podcast, we pride ourselves on keeping our promises. And that's why... Welcome to the internet!
The second episode in the series?
Yeah, second of three. So...
Wow.
I know. Let me put my glasses on real quick.
Instead of just making shit up.
Well, I could just do that. But I think, you know, actually lies are bad, generally speaking. And we should not do them.
Oh, I know. I do have a crazy news segment we could add in. Here.
Oh, please. Okay, let's do the intro, then we'll add your crazy news segment.
Okay, let me pull it up.
Okay. Welcome to the internet, live from a number of totally unsecured and bottom secret locations scattered throughout the Salt Lake Ogden Provo Combined Statistical Area. This is the Red Line Podcast. I'm your host, quote, not normally orange, Dunstan, and these are my co-hosts.
Kyle, quote, Alpine, Utah, close quote, Holland, and...
Alex, quote, they say I could kill a man, quote, Fielder. Today we're discussing the birth of America's subway. Just how did Washington, D.C. get America's second most ridden subway system? Find out after the news.
Kyle, news noise.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Okay, let's have Alex's news last, since it will probably be the funniest. Okay. So, okay. The Bay Area is getting back on the move, with several regional transit agencies reporting enormous ridership gains in the first few months of 2025. Caltrain led the pack with a nearly 50% jump in daily riders, likely driven by its wildly successful CalMod electrification and accompanying frequency increases. Other winners include SMART, which is now reporting 134% of pre-pandemic ridership, and the Bay Area's two ferry agencies, both of which saw increases of greater than 15%. Bay Area mainstays like BART and Muni are also seeing solid growth, with a 6.5% and 4% increase, respectively. While these gains have yet to offset the huge pandemic plunge in ridership, which has affected most transit agencies, they are a sure sign that transit ridership is still on the road to recovery.
So is Caltrain above pre-pandemic now?
No.
Damn.
But they have 50% more riders than they did last year, so I think that's
through the magic of making their service better. Many transit agencies should be trying this.
A good place to start, yeah.
Good place to start.
Did you like how I accidentally wrote 50% on the ferry agencies and managed to correct myself in mid-step? I appreciate...
Oh, what's the actual percentage?
It's 15, as I said.
Great reading comprehension. And what the hell is smart cooking?
I think, I don't know. Oh. I just think the Marin area has had, like, good transit going on since the Rona. So,
did they do, like, a service improvement or something?
Not really, because it's so single track that you can't really do one. So I think this may just be, like, an adjacent population getting used to it and better bus connections sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. When did they even build the smart train?
I think it was in, like, the 2010s, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Second news item. In other news, the Trump administration has officially taken over the modernization of New York's Penn Station, the busiest rail station in the Western Hemisphere. Quoting here from Mass Transit magazine, quote, "President Donald Trump has made it clear. The days of reckless spending and blank checks are over," said U.S. Thought Secretary Sean P. Duffy. Quote, "New York City deserves a Penn Station that reflects America's greatness and is safe and clean. The MTA's history of inefficiency, waste, and mismanagement also meant that a new approach is needed. By putting taxpayers first, we're ensuring every dollar is spent wisely to create a transit hub that all Americans can take pride in." Unquote. Recent reports also suggest that the FRA is planning to reduce the dollar amount of grants awarded for the project. Does this mean that Penn Station will be the first transit project to fall victim to our criminally incompetent and traitorous president? Only time will tell.
Yippee!
Do they have any concrete plans for doing the project magically cheaper?
They do not, but they just have decided that it's too woke and...
Usually when projects change hands between agencies, they get more expensive.
Well, yes, because that's how that works when you add complexity, you know. So, but I'm sure this will fix everything.
Maybe the funding will be reallocated to the Brooklyn Queen Expressway.
Ha! Huh. Probably. Because what New York City needs is more freeways.
That would be the taxpayers would definitely love that.
I'm sure they would temporarily, because the American taxpayer is, I won't say anything else, the American taxpayer. Okay, Alex, what's your news item?
Okay, so the other day up here in Logan, we had some Nazis parading around.
Yes.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did not
see that.
Yeah, and then our wonderful local newspaper called The Herald Journal.
They're very fine people on both sides.
Yeah, they said two groups hold peaceful protests Saturday in Logan. And then they changed it to demonstrators, some carrying swastika flags, hold peaceful protests Saturday. And then they changed it to group carrying swastika flag walk down Logan Main Street. And then they took it down.
As they should. Oh, yeah. You know, there were many people are saying they were very fine people on both sides. Both sides. People, great people. Amazing people. Maybe the best people, except the Democrats. Woke and bad. But the Nazis, we love the Nazis. We think they're great. Even... They're peaceful protesters, the Nazis.
We can't even call the Nazis Nazis.
Well, no.
No, they're peaceful.
Because you see, people who are carrying a swastika flag are not automatically Nazis.
Who also have signs that say White Lives Matter and White Power.
Well, yeah, because you see, those are just stopping the evil double racism standard.
Well, yeah, so I'm excited to move out of Logan.
Yeah, back to Salt Lake City, where our Nazis only come here for a couple months of the year.
They're like winter birds? Like old people?
Spring.
Well, you see, they generally come between about January and March. And they're sort of, you know, they have their own little sort of like district up on this hill just outside of downtown.
Ah. Ba-dum-tis.
I'm sorry?
Ba-dum-tis. Oh, yes,
ba-dum-tis. Led by our good friend Trevor Lee, voted world's stupidest man just yesterday.
Well, anyway.
I should get in a flame war with him on Twitter.
It wouldn't hurt, would it?
Anyway.
Are you even still on Twitter?
No, the Red Line Podcast is still on Twitter.
Okay. Have fun flaming. That's what Twitter's for.
You can stir stuff up if you want.
I can. I could say Trevor Lee is a redacted. I am going to redacted the redacted of the redacted.
What's hiding under that?
You should put that up too.
I might have to.
You can hear us. I'll even send a link so you can find my source for this.
Thanks.
Perfect. this is a good episode so far, and we've only mentioned DC once.
We haven't even talked about... Okay. This has been the news.
Do-de-do-de-do-do.
Wow, amazing. Okay, we're not doing Positivity Corner today because I don't feel like it.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, as we discussed back in episode 100, Washington, D.C.
Back in the day.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Wow, or 3 weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah.
So long. Never seen a longer one.
No, I've never seen a longer time period in my life.
Me neither. As we discussed back in episode 100, Washington, D.C.'s streetcar network was finally shut down in 1962. But by that time, the first plans for what would become the Metro were already in place. You may recall from previous episodes the passage of the National Highway Aid Act in 1956. Please boo.
Boo.
Thank you. Which provided federal funding for interstate highways to be constructed throughout the United States. DC planners had been lusting after a subway system for a couple of decades by then, with business leaders and others proposing a series of streetcar tunnels as early as the 1940s.
Lol.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, they could have had, like, bigger Muni Metro trademark.
It's a subway, but slow and drive-by-sight, TM.
Green Line, cough. Green Line, Boston, cough. Though none of these plans ever came to fruition, the desire remained, and planners began plotting out a new, largely suburban system to complement the system of highways being built out under the NHAA. The chairman of the National Capital Planning Commission suggested a 33-mile metro system to complement the region's new freeways, and it was added to the regional plan in 1959, becoming the first official plan for the metro set to paper. You'll probably notice that certain of its lines bear a striking similarity to the metro system of today. Although it does have a somewhat...
33 miles feels pretty short for a period-appropriate subway plan.
This was still the 50s, though. This wasn't great society yet.
Oh, and it was mid-society.
I will note that the orange bit here does carry a bit of a concerning, like, shape.
Yeah, very...
Very Logan-ite.
Very news. News-related.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was suggested, and then what? And then what?
And then, in 1960, America's first and final dreamboat president was elected to the office of the chief executive, and everything, very briefly, changed. Because he died, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Very unfortunate.
I mean, I guess it is for him. But in terms of, like... the United States as a whole, I'm not sure it was all that impactful.
You're the poli sci, so I'll trust you.
Thank you. Thank you. Kennedy appointed one Darwin Stolzenbach to be chairman of the National Capital Planning Commission. Kennedy's government also created the new National Capital Transit Agency, which was to oversee new transit developments in the D.C. area. Stolzenbach was deeply skeptical of the new highway system and proposed a much more ambitious 83-mile system, along with substantial cuts to the proposed freeway system. In other words, a visionary hero.
This feels like a first for federal planners.
I think we need less freeways. Kill him! Burn him! Let him die!
A witch! A witch!
Kill the witch! You can also see on this map that also bears a rather striking similarity to the metro system of today. Although this one does have a stop in Georgetown, so RIP, I guess.
And cuts to freeways, sure, but that's still a huge and pretty thoroughly built-out network.
But there's no, like, inner loop or in DC, really. So.
Maybe there shouldn't be. Hot take?
No.
Hot
take. No.
There shouldn't be like four concentric freeway rings.
Yes, there should. What is it? Let me look at Google Maps. Hold on. Google Maps. We're going to look at Houston, the greatest city on earth, which has a perfect 1, 2, 3, 4, almost 5 ring roads. Isn't that great?
Gotta love it.
Healthy.
It's amazing. It's perfect. It's the greatest city on earth. What is this JFK library asset?
Is this a link? It's a picture of him and Stolzenbach.
Oh, good. We can put this in the podcast. Isn't that special?
Wow. Yeah, public domain. Relevant photograph.
At 12:13 p.m. in the Oval Office. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So... highways, though, as you may know, were in fashion at the time, and as we discussed a few moments ago, Kennedy was not long for this world. So Stolzenbach's scaled-back freeways ignited a firestorm among the traffic-snagged folks of the DMV, who were convinced that the only real solution to their problems would be more freeways.
The Department of Mind Virus.
That's... It's like it's an acronym for like the DC Maryland metro area.
DC Maryland Virginia.
There you go. I forgot about the third state. Yes, I'm manifesting.
Virginia's if you remember at the time.
If you remember at the time, cars were the future. They were going to solve all transportation with
magic, fully grade separated, traffic free roads. And now we live in a utopia.
And you could park in your skyscraper directly outside your office, and your wife could be driven around in her own separate car to the mall.
For fun.
Woo!
This is bits from an actual period-appropriate ad, which I'm about to try and find.
I love America. What a strange... I'm looking at the Katy Freeway right now and remembering how absolutely hideous it is.
I find it interesting that on this map it's rail rapid transit for the motorist.
Right. Oh, hey, you're jumping ahead.
Oops.
naughty, naughty, Alex. This is why I shouldn't let you guys look at the document.
You should. You should stream it live.
That's right. Oh, Disney's Magic Highway. Are we going to play this?
It's like 9 minutes. I'm sure we'd rather get on with the episode, but the gist is that they've solved tunnel boring, right? We've got magical traffic-free grade-separated highways everywhere, and the men get to go in the car and park outside of their office in the high-rise without interacting with any of the pores on what used to be the ground. And then the woman and the children get to be driven by an automatic car, because women can't drive, to the mall.
Wait, what? So the men are not driven by an automatic car?
I'm not clear on that.
Wow.
Well, I'll watch,
the car is supposed to, like, split in half somehow?
Self-replicating car.
I love a self-replicating car. That's insane. I love yeah. sexism. So Stolzenbach was ousted for being a wide-eyed radical in 1965, and the NCTA adopted a much more modest initial system plan. As you can see from this.
Evil and, radicals in their subways.
And as Alex said, yes, it does say rail rapid transit for the motorists because we love to park and ride.
Which is a healthy long-term way to build a rider base and to do urban planning.
Kyle, don't be a hater. You're such a hater.
You know, like 20% of UTA ridership is either park and ride or drop off.
That's because we don't have enough parking lots.
Yeah, we need bigger parking lots. We need
a higher park and ride.
You know that
percentage, like
10-story parking garage next to Harmon's downtown.
Yeah,
we need like five of those at every UTA station, and this will cause billions of people to ride Trax and Front Runner.
Okay, East Coast.
It's true. I mean, I guess it works for the Long Island Railroad and like, but that's a little different.
This works for the New York only because traffic is so shit that the transit is always better. The drivers will instantly stop riding transit the moment it's marginally faster or cheaper to drive.
This is true. So WMATA was created by an act of Congress the following year in 1966 and began planning the most ambitious metro system yet, seemingly sort of disregarding the sort of like pathetic little one that the NCTA proposed here. The planning process was not without snags. People from literally every jurisdiction surrounding the district wanted a piece of the action, which meant that the soon-to-be-christened metro would need to be long, often acting more like regional rail than an urban subway.
Which I think is one of the cooler things about it.
Oh, it's like BART. I mean, it's actually...
Yeah.
Look, the thing about DC Metro is that it's much better than BART. Because the sort of platonic ideal of the Great Society Metro is it is a commuter rail or a regional rail in the suburbs, and a proper, like, metro sort of urban subway in the city. And whereas BART really didn't do that so much, like, there are only, like, 11 stops in San Francisco and, like, or let's see, Embarcadero, Powell, Montgomery, Civic Center, the Mission stops. I think there are only 8 stops in San Francisco proper and not along...
Well, and I don't think that's necessarily BART's fault because San Francisco has a lot of unique geographic constraints and it was able to lean very heavily on the Muni streetcar system as the local quote metro unquote.
Yeah, and how did that work out for them? Remind me how long it takes
it's
to get
slow.
From Ocean
There's so
Beach
many
downtown.
Transfers. It's so expensive.
So
but DC is geographically a much different shape. It's like a giant blob, so there's a lot more area for the metro to cover, and there's less weird places with tunneling problems. Ahem, Transbay Tube, ahem.
Yes.
And they don't have an existing system.
And so it does a pretty decent job of being like an urban subway for DC and also of being sort of regional rail. And this is because a truly astonishing number of route alternatives were considered, with 3 entirely distinct systems trialed with local governments. As you can see on this map, where the black is one system, the red is one system, and the green is one system.
This is what you get for spanning 3 separate states. Yes, I'm manifesting again.
DC is
like, you've seen how much of a shit show... Yeah, you've seen how much of a shit show planning is in LA when they have to go between multiple different municipalities and all the little fiefdoms. You've got to go through 3 states here, not to mention all the municipalities.
And that's just honestly a California disease where they have gone so hard into localism that they are incapable of cross-jurisdictional planning.
yeah.
Anyway, I have no irritated feelings about this.
None whatsoever.
I'll yell about this in another episode soon. But anyway.
Yell about California episode?
Oh, God. I would love a yell about California episode. Yeah, a 10-parter episode where I explain why California must succeed and also why it is continually kneecapping itself in its ability to do that.
Dude, California is pointing an assault rifle at its foot.
No, no, no. Because California has like two choices for its future. And one is like everyone gets a puppy and the other one is... The one is like everyone gets a puppy and also gets to live in like perfect utopia land. And the other is...
With perfect weather.
With... Right. And the other is like, let's shoot ourselves in the foot forever for no reason and also like kill a child every 3 seconds as a ritual sacrifice to appease suburban homeowners.
Kill a child every 3 seconds. 61, 39 puppies. 59, 41.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, this moment of frustration with my beloved state that I would very much like to move to is brought to you by reading the California YIMBY live tweet of a very important housing bill hearing.
Oh.
Which I think has passed out of committee. So I think we're okay.
Oh, for that's now. Good. That's good. But, you have me worried.
No, I think it got out of committee. But I was sort of flabbergasted by the silliness of the debate, I think. I don't want to say more because I might want to be employed by the California legislature. So, yeah, but they adopted a new plan in 1968, which called for an astonishing 97.2 miles of track, with more than 40 of those in subway tunnels.
Wowza.
I know. They really thought big back then.
And built big, too.
The original system was to form the backbone of the metro we know today, with 5 lines spanning the entire region. The system would, of course, be a bit of an oddball because it's the Great Society Metro. It has a track gauge of 4 feet 8 1/4 inches instead of the more typical 4 feet 8 1/2. And no one is quite sure why, it seems. Some people think...
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
Some people think it's because engineers thought it would provide for a smoother ride. I don't know if that has any bearing, but and others think it was to make sure that the tracks couldn't be co-opted for freight use, and I think it might be both. So, or none of them, or it could have just been like, oh, it's Anno Domini 1968. Let's make 4 feet 8 1/4 inches because the future.
One more gauge. Well, at least it's a small enough gauge difference that they probably just have like custom wheels or something, and they don't have to get like entire super expensive fully custom train sets.
I think they have fully custom train sets. Most
well, not necessarily because of the gauge. I know most metros do that just for kicks and giggles, and New York continues to do that even though it's excessively expensive.
What's New York? What you gonna do?
back off from, gonna do, well, actually, what they're going to do is Interborough Express, which is an opportunity to step completely away from like decades of subway car design and just buy a normal fucking light metro vehicle.
Well, you see, but they're gonna do low floor.
They'd better do high floor, or else.
Because fun, trademark, because we must...
It's fully grade separated. If they don't do high floor, actually.
But light rail is low floor, Kyle.
That's a false statement.
Light rail, but America, we can't... Then it is big train and not light rail bad. Oh, so,
and big train is scary, and we need to build a small train dangerous. That won't turn my backyard into a rail yard.
Small train will not do crime versus subway, which do crime. You see?
Okay, and we'll make the small train slower so that it...
yes.
I'm really not sure why.
So crime moves at a slower pace.
Okay, did you... speaking of
crime
this,
entering Sugar House at 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, speaking of that, I have noticed that the S line has gotten much slower in the last couple of weeks, and I'm not sure why they did that. I think
like the schedule?
No, it's just like, I think it still keeps the schedule because there was always a lot of dwell time, but it just crawls now because I think that they restricted speed at every intersection, which means that it's going like 10 miles 10-15 miles an hour for most of its run, which is just painful.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't have a before or after on all the speed posted signs, but yeah, they do nominally slow down to 15 at every intersection.
It's painful. I don't like it. Just put in a crossing gate.
Well, and then also that's a nightmare of a speed curve to maintain, because you're expected to slow down to 15 upon entering each intersection, speed up to 25 after clearing, lather, rinse, repeat, plus all the station stops. So I can see a desire to simplify that.
Well, and why don't you, like,
run it at a higher speed? And if you run the red light and get hit by a train, then that's a you problem, like it is downtown.
Yeah. Like, come on, man.
It's fully signal protected with the exception of like two stop signs.
I have places to be. So anyway, that's way off topic. Metro successfully passed a bond measure in 1968, allowing the system to begin construction. Planning for other aspects.
It was the fall of 68.
You could have saved that joke for literally the next line, Kyle.
Oh. I wasn't reading ahead.
Planning for other aspects of the system was also undertaken the days leading up to the beginning of construction in 1969.
Including was the fall of 69.
First of all, that the song is the summer of 69?
Fuck. No. I forgot.
It was the summer of 69.
I've been doing the bit much more than I've been listening to the song, so it's kind of just like evolved divergently.
Okay, fair. They built this sort of lovely little mock station here to show what things would look like with a little fake train in it and stuff.
I can see the curtain on the other side. They only did like a few feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was supposedly 17 feet wide, so just like a little
snippet. Well, they gotta vibe check the like extremely hard brutalism.
And I think people liked it, so.
Yeah, and it turned out great.
It's still iconic.
I don't think any other metro system has like such coherent architecture.
It really does. That is quite unique. In the United States, at least. I think there are some overseas. Like
in the United States.
Maybe the gosh, what do they call the metro in Stockholm? I don't remember. It's like train in Bagen or whatever. I think it might be the S-Tog. Or maybe that's Copenhagen. I don't know. But it has like these really cool sort of just exposed rock underground stations that are quite coherent and quite unique. So also maybe the Pyongyang metro, which has a very sort of like communist realist style. But that is a whole nother ballgame.
We're just lining up the episodes.
Oh, I would love to talk about Pyongyang Metro on site. So a variety of vehicle technologies were considered because it was the 1960s and future trademark.
How old is that photograph?
What do we have here?
That's the reason they slowed it down.
I could kill him. Here, let me show you Pyongyang Metro Station while we're doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, they're great. They have chandeliers.
What?
Look at this. Isn't that the most Soviet-looking thing you've ever seen in your life?
It's kind of sweet. I love the mural. Yeah.
Yeah, communist realism.
Yeah. The full height murals. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, and you won't believe this, but I think on two lines it moves like 400,000 people a day or something. It's actually like a crazy, like, good metro system.
That's what good planning will do for you.
Uh-huh. So maybe the only good feature of Pyongyang. Yeah, so because it was the 60s and everything had to be future, they thought about monorails but realized that the tunnels would be too expensive. They thought about rubber-tired vehicles like the Paris Metro, but those can't go so fast. So engineers decided on a fairly conventional design with a weird gauge and a few quirks.
Still don't get why we can seem to consider monorail for like every other metro system.
Future.
Well, I know in L.A. it's actual thinly veiled malice and will to destroy an entire project. In Seattle, it was World's Fair. In D.C., I don't know.
In Seattle, it almost got built. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes.
And then in D.C., it's like they went to the library and looked up list of, well, because they didn't have Google back
list
then.
Of and weird trains.
List of train technologies.
Yeah. List of stupid train ideas.
Survey all the airports, see what they're using, and try and use that for a 90-something mile commuter system.
Okay, honestly, though, there are a lot of systems that could do worse than copying airport people movers, because airport people movers are quite economical to construct. They have all off-the-shelf components. They can run at extremely high frequency without human interaction.
So in other words, we should be buying train systems from, like, Otis or something.
Sure, why not? But yeah, trains would be a little quirky. They would be laid out for commuting with a lot of chairs, with generous and comfortable seating, and would have the very unusual distinction of carpet flooring.
What the hell? This is like putting carpet in a bathroom.
You can't get the suburbanites on the train if it doesn't have carpet.
I kind of like the carpet.
Trains
I hope it was
would,
at least short carpet.
It was short carpet, although I think that there
Can
are...
Can you imagine a shag carpet train?
like a beautiful like 80s blue shag carpet you step into the metro
that you get AIDS after you step on.
Yeah, don't be homophobic, Kyle. So trains would also be air conditioned and fast to cover the long distances between stations. Metro trains
bourgeoisie
were designed
they thought for better than London
operation at up to 70 miles an hour. Even more excitingly,
not like BART where it goes 70 miles an hour or 80 in case of delay.
Yeah, it would 70 is the top speed, I think. Trains would also be largely automated, bringing DC Metro into the space age trademark.
For a period. Not to spoil anything.
No spoilers, but that does not last forever, folks. Some marketing consultants wanted to paint the trains red to make them more appealing to commuters, as you can see in this lovely picture here. But that was rejected for reasons of cost and practicality.
What is this marketing department? Carpet and red trains?
This will get the commuters, the suburban commuters on board.
Yeah, that I don't know. Kind of cool. Could have been a YouTube sponsorship.
So it is in a lot of ways very similar to BART. And the 1000 series trains will be ordered from Roar Manufacturing in California and enter service in 1976. Here is an original
train.
Let me
guess, said company is no longer in business?
No, I think they still exist. I don't know what they make now, though.
Wow.
I like the seats.
Yeah, the seats are good, right?
Those look very cushy.
Yeah. And then there's...
I love the color orange, too.
And then there's carpet. So, you know, sort of negating the fact that the seats are vinyl.
Okay, Roar still exists and is an aerospace company.
Oh, yes, because in the 1960s and 70s, we had to have trains from future, and future means buying your trains from an aerospace company. See Boeing LL...
Hey, at least these ones worked out.
See Boeing LRVs and also the fact that Grumman made... the freaking post office's cars for like 20 years.
What is the U.S. federal government's obsession with their aerospace contractors?
Because they already do a lot of business with aerospace contractors,
a lot.
So might as well
a
continue.
Lot.
But isn't that a great looking train, honestly? Like, bring back like an ugly ass yellow and orange / like purplish red color scheme in my train.
Okay,
you
could make this pretty modern. By taking out the carpet and putting cooler white lights.
Yeah, the yellow.
Like, I think the seats would be fine.
No, I love the yellow. This is
what
I want my house to look like.
You know, you can buy one of these.
Really?
The train cars?
Yeah, somebody bought one in DC and turned it into a cafe after the 1000 series was decommissioned.
I would turn it into my...
Yeah, aren't they on like 5 or 6 or 7 or something now?
I think they're on 7000 series now.
Wow.
So, yes. Next section. So, construction on the metro began in the closing days of 1969, with the Secretary of Transportation, D.C. Mayor, and Governor of Maryland joining together for a groundbreaking ceremony on December 9th of that year. You can see
it was the winter of 69.
Yes, very good, Kyle.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can see here some cut and cover construction on Pennsylvania Avenue, which
looks
is
pretty good.
Okay. Pretty good looking.
Hot take. In the year of our Lord 2025, we should use cut and cover construction more, and we should use it on our like comically absurdly wide streets.
Like you could on 4th South build a subway without ever like stopping traffic.
Like you could dig up half the road. On 7th East, you could dig up half the road. Because like the main problem with the OG cut and cover projects, like the Market Street Subway, is that they dig up literally the entire street and they kill adjoining businesses because you can't get to them unless you want to walk the plank.
Yeah, and Market Street has actually probably never been the same even to like this day as those. Well, yeah. Some of that is COVID, but like I think that a lot of the vibrancy of that particular business street was sort of like marred permanently by building the subway. And so I understand people's objections to cut and cover. And to be honest,
but if you can do it like in this picture,
Kyle,
they've got three or four lanes each way.
This is not quite so ideal as you think it was. This is a very particular section. It was not like this everywhere. Construction would continue.
It's not magic, neither is tunnel boring, so.
No, and tunnel boring is probably much more expensive. Construction would continue for the next 7 years, and in the meanwhile, WMATA was getting up to some other shenanigans. While WMATA's original charter only allowed them to operate train service, DC's bus companies were in a state of freefall decline by the early 1970s. WMATA negotiated, condemned, and acquired four major regional bus companies by 1973, consolidating them into Metrobus, which remains the main provider of bus service in the DMV today. A U.S. representative by the name of William Natcher got up to some scheming of his own during the same time period. He'd always preferred highways, and as the chairman of the D.C. Funding Committee, held up DC's share of the funding for the Metro in 1971 after local freeway fighters scored a victory. Although he capitulated the following year, he managed to delay the project and make it more expensive. Great job, dude.
Class act.
This is what's happening with Penn Station, by the way.
Yep.
We'll be delayed.
Efficiency!
The Department of Government Efficiency, which by some metrics has already lost the United States government $1 trillion.
They didn't specify what kind.
True. Efficiency or inefficiency, they didn't specify.
Yeah,
they exactly. did.
No, this is like how California high-speed rail will be cheaper if we spend more money faster.
Yes, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, great job. Well, go on, Alex.
As Kyle was saying, they didn't specify like what they were making more efficient, because it might be making
the money pit.
Yeah, the money pit larger. Or I don't know.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. Okay, WMATA also ran into trouble with station placement around the Capitol, National Mall, and other sites of civic importance. The architect of the Capitol, who is extremely powerful in D.C. because of these idiotic sightline regulations they have there.
Ugh. what is this, Texas?
Wouldn't let a station be built directly under the Capitol, so the station had to be moved several blocks away at high cost.
Bruh.
The University of Maryland rejected a station on campus, resulting in a costly and complicated redesign of the system in College Park, Maryland.
Why would a college want a station?
Crime.
A college.
Crime is coming.
They're college
students. The train will be... this will be like the red line to the university where it's like 80% plus college students.
No.
I've been out.
Crime.
Yeah, because...
students will drive
nobody's
to campus
ever done
in
crime
automated
in a car.
Students will be driving to campus in automated cars by 1980, okay? So we don't need a metro station.
Right. Yeah. Unlike Sims, they'll pick up the cars and they'll put them in their pockets and they'll go to class.
That's right, in City Skylines, yes. The biggest obstacle, though, turned out to be the National Park Service, which objected to basically any tampering with its property. The most notable example of this is the two stations at Farragut North and Farragut South, which are like 300 feet apart. And they exist because the National Park Service wouldn't let WMATA move a statue to build a consolidated station under Farragut Square.
Why can't we move a statue?
Because it's historic, Alex.
Remember back in like 100, 200 years ago where we moved entire buildings?
But why would we do that when we could have history and spend millions of dollars building a second station like 200 feet away?
We can still have the history in a slightly different place.
But that then it's not history.
Do we know what statue it was?
It was of a guy named... It was Farragut. I don't know who it is. It's called Farragut Square, but I think he was like an admiral or something. David Glasgow Farragut was a flag officer of the United States Navy during the American Civil War. Okay, well, look, I support him being preserved, but I don't know if we should like object to moving his station. So, or his statue.
It's so kind of sweet.
Strenuously.
I don't see why they wouldn't just put it back when they were done.
Well, silence, Kyle. Don't speak logic to the National Park Service, apparently. Citizen lawsuits were also an issue. Cut and cover construction was disruptive and people were not happy about it. Most lawsuits were pure NIMBYism, such as one that insisted that the sound insulation at one underground station be doubled for no perceptible reason. Some of them were good, though. A 1972 lawsuit resulted in the system being fully accessible from day one.
Whoa.
The first, like, metro to ever do that, I think. The extra,
okay, that's cool.
The extra elevators cost $65 million, but I think it was probably worth it.
Can we do the inflation calculator?
It's a lot of money.
Oh.
You can do it if you
want. Well, I wanted to compare it to like the amount New York City spends on retrofitting their system, which I know is apples to oranges, but...
Inflation calculator. I said it was $65 million, right?
Yep.
In 1972.
$505 million today.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing for elevators. For an entire fucking metro system? How many stations do they have?
A lot now. I don't know.
Okay. A lot. Several.
Despite these...
Still a great deal.
Yes, yes. Huge. And despite these delays, construction continued apace, and the first parts of the budding rapid transit network began to come together. It all paid off on March 27th, 1976, when the first 4.6 miles of the metro opened between Farragut North and Rhode Island Avenue on what would become the Red Line. There's a great picture Red Line of mentioned. It here. Yes, the Red Line. The Red Line, you might say.
Look at all that park and ride.
I know. People are really parking and riding. And these great, like, this great, like, classic VW Bug here in the back.
I love the bus as well.
I know. America's subway had officially been born. And we will pick up next week with how the system came together, WMATA's ongoing financial difficulties, and what the future might hold for America's subway.
Maybe we'll talk about the automation situation, too.
Oh, we will be talking about that, yes.
There has been some recent news with that as well.
There has, and also I would like to give a shout-out to the current person running the Washington Metropolitan Authority for Transportation or whatever. I don't even know what it stands for. Washington Metropolitan...
I don't either. I've never checked.
Oh, Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. There we go.
Oh.
Well,
we're giving him a shout-out. They're that cool.
We will be. He seems like a good guy.
Cool.
Gotta love the good guys.
And is known to get this, use the system for his daily needs.
Now we're talking.
I mean, that's a good start in and of itself. Like,
that's a huge start.
Huge.
Meanwhile,
amazing.
UTA management.
I love America. Oh, UTA, I have never ridden the front runner. Why would I ride anything but the front runner? Because it is for the poor. many people are saying. Utah's when you're too school rich for voucher the fucking program frontrunner. Is unconstitutional, judge rules.
True. Ooh, cool.
True.
Is this the late positivity section?
No, I think it's the whole thing. Yep, it's the whole thing. And Governor Spencer Cox said the state will appeal. That's amazing.
Of course they will.
Based. Okay.
Mr. Anti-Education Spineless.
Please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And to follow and leave us a rating. Oh, if you're listening on YouTube. And to follow and leave us a rating on iTunes and/or Spotify. If you like what we do here, please consider becoming a member on Patreon. Patrons receive early access to all of our regular content, as well as exclusive episodes and occasional merch drops. Speaking of patrons, at Frontrunner tier, $10 a month or more, we have Zach Adams, Aaron, Curtis Herring, Devin Zander, Phobos2390, and Tony Stunts. Good job, Alex.
Okay. Boom. Our redline tier, $5 a month. We have Christopher Whaley, DJ.
Hi, Will.
Watkins, Elijah Kensler, Isaac Madsen, Jesse Mayo, Nebula, Reluctant LA Resident, Robert P. Walsh, and Zephyr Zamoro.
At DC Metro Silverline tier, $3 a month, we have Alex Dykowski, Alice MYOB, Ben, Ethan McDonald, Evelyn, G4, Jack McCoskey, Litmus Zest, Martin Hecker Martinez, Matt Gray, McKay Ransom, Oliver, Sam Myers, Sky Lukowski, Toronto Transit Channel, and Zach Verstott.
And at Greenline tier, parentheses, WMATA edition, close parentheses, we have Benjamin Wood, Joshua S. Horvath, Kapil, Ryan Bailey, and William Rowe. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Go, don't hop a fair gate.
Yeah, don't hop a fair gate. Pay your fare.
Yeah.
Not a...
Post-COVID, your transit agency could use it.
Yeah, and also it's just the right thing to do, so... You know.
That is my favorite similarity between WMATA and BART is the horrendous fare gates.
Oh. No, BART has good fare gates now.
Well, the original ones.
Oh, yeah, they were kind of horrible. Because you see...
DC Metro has...
Because you see, it's only going to be frequented by middle-class people, and middle-class people would never hop a fare gate. Don't you see?
Never. Sure.
Foreshadowing?
Well, I've never hopped a Fairgate.
Yeah, no, I haven't either.
I don't think you count as a middle-class person.
My parents are middle-class. But I suppose I am
down... I said you, not your parents.
I guess I am probably downwardly mobile at this point, so...
I think the bar in the context of this episode is, could you afford to car, park, and ride commute on the DC Metro?
I mean,
from your house
job,
in Exurban, D.C.
If I had a job, I probably could.
That's true. With the kind of job that you would park and ride commute on the D.C. Metro, too, you could afford anything.
Those won't exist anymore pretty soon, so...
Right, because we're just obliterating, you know, a very carefully tuned, lean, mean, bureaucratic machine
that runs
the entire fucking country.
I don't think people understand that the federal bureaucracy has, like, barely grown since the 1980s, and so they're basically, like, administering more and larger programs with, like, the same amount of staff as ever before. So all of these sort of idiotic staff cuts that the, and I put this in quotes because it is not a department, it's not really... actually part of the government, legally speaking, and it's certainly
and it's not
efficient.
Making efficiency.
Has just been a stupid and terrible idea and shows that the people running our country have no idea what they're doing. This was also the case in the previous Trump administration, but they were more constrained by the need
they
to
They haven't stacked the courts yet.
The courts were not yet quite so stacked. They had a need to get reelected, and it's sort of importantly, they were not quite as determined to destroy the government as they are now.
They didn't have a premeditated plan to destroy the whole government?
Not quite so much. And also, they had, you know, the ability to sort of grift off of the really good economy and, like, political situation that Obama left behind. Because contrary to what people on the internet will tell you, he was a pretty darn good president.
Yeah.
Even reduce the deficit, which...
Wow, that's a feat.
Wow. Confronting the Great Recession. So, you know.
Head on. This is good work.
So did Biden, actually. So you might find that interesting. And so did Clinton. You see, interestingly, the only presidents in the last, like, 30 years to reduce the deficit have been Democrats. So I wonder who is really fiscally responsible.
Trump's unstated goal is to make rich people richer.
Well, yes.
Whether that means tax cuts, crashing the economy, or all of the above.
By looting the American government and the American people, yes. And also impoverishing us by turning us back into an exporter instead of the world's most largest and most important service economy. So, great president we have right now. I would like to say impeach... immediately.
Yep, that's our review.
Okay, anything else?
I don't know. I'm excited for present and future Wamata.
I do.
There's gonna
be
a lot of extensions and such. Go ahead.
I would like to say how sort of stupid people who are in the stock market are, because they have just had a major stock rebound today after the U.S. Treasury Secretary. Said that a Chinese trade war is unsustainable under the mistaken assumption that the Trump administration cares about what is logical or sustainable and is not just out to get.
Isn't the Trump administration also worrying at ousting Jerome Powell or whoever, and presumably the Treasury Secretary?
Jerome Powell. Ooh, that's a flashback to the past. Someone competent running the Department of Transportation or the Department of Defense? Yes. Pete Hegseth will probably be out. After a sort of three-ish...
Jerome Powell is the Fed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not the defense.
I don't know why I was...
Yeah.
Colin Powell. I was confusing myself there.
Wrong Powell.
Yeah, but they're going to get rid of probably the Secretary of Defense because he's already had two massive scandals in like the first 2 months of his thing. They're going to try and get rid of the...
So one is good, two, now you're out.
They're going to try and get rid of the Fed chair because they don't like that he's... you know, running a reasonable economic policy.
And that he's saying facts.
Yeah, why should we be looking forward the next 30 years? Why not just be happy today?
Right.
Should we let qualified people make, frankly, very reserved statements about the economy and what should be done with it?
Well, you see, because the Atlanta Fed is predicting a recession, and that means that they're woke. So,
not that there might be a recession.
The truth does have a liberal bias.
Yeah, that's really annoying how the truth has a liberal bias. I've always found, I'm sure my father has always found that to be annoying. But yeah, truth has a liberal bias. Impeach President Trump. 40 years of Democratic dominance will be coming again. And I predict 350 Democratic House seats and 75 Democratic Senate seats in the 2026 midterms, provided we have midterms. So,
and hey, while we're at it, maybe Bernie can even get some campaign finance reform through.
Sure. Well, that used to be a bipartisan issue, you know.
As many things did.
Well, that was a killer episode.
It was.
On a killer metro.
Like
by
Dave's,
a killer man.
Like
the
Dave's,
chat went off.
Like Dave's killer bread.
Oh, yeah. Which tastes good, but is also inordinately expensive.
It really is. It's like, it's expensive even for like bougie-ass hipster bread.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that the Trump administration would deport Dave?
They probably
would. Bruh. Uncool.
Let's deport people for no reason. Let's have a political gulag in El Salvador. This will not be bad.
Fascism, fascism, fascism.
Yup.
It's crazy how bad that Money Pit graphic is from The Onion.
Well, it is from like 2008.
Hey, it's 2008.
No, but like, why is there a dam in the middle of an open pit mine?
To hold the money back.
To stop the money from coming out.
But then they took
why
like
is there
half
of an arch bridge? Yeah. So you can reach over and dump the money?
Yeah, that's where you put the money out.
But then why isn't the money like piled up right there?
It is and piled up.
Okay.
But then what's with the skyscraper above the dam?
They have to administer the money pit. That's a commentary on bureaucracy evil. We're just going to forget what they are. Oh my God, did somebody actually get that on a tattoo?
Yes, someone got Julia Reagan as a tattoo. This is a thing you will,
God.
This is a thing you'll only know
the
what
lore.
It is if you're in Salt Lake. But we
the
have
lore.
A sort of evil billboards company here called Reagan. And the wife of the founder, I believe, has passed away like a year ago now. And they fill up every empty sign they have with like signs that say "Rip Julia Reagan," so it has become a bit of a thing in Salt Lake. And I think did I send the Julia Reagan saint picture? Was where did I send that to?
I don't think I.
I don't
seen
think
that.
So.
Ah, yes, here it is.
Oh yeah, you did send that. That's pretty good. The color matching, immaculate.
That's really good.
What would it be? Sancta Julia Reagan, Ora Pro Nobis. A little bit of ecclesiastical Latin on the Red Line podcast today.
Wow.
Based.
So yes, rip Julia Reagan. This has been the Red Line podcast. I'm killing my recording now.
Killing the recording.